Baby, time to record. So like I told you earlier, we have to do this little spiel because I got a sponsor now.
You have to do it at the start of the show or?
I am going to do it at the start of the show. Get it out of the way. Get it nice and out of the way. Okay, welcome to another episode of the Real Cognition Podcast. My guest today, Baby Alex. This is the fifth time we've tried this podcast.
Fifth or the third?
No, it's really the fourth. It's the fourth time.
Let's go into the last two times we tried doing it.
Yeah.
One night we got too drunk.
One night we got too drunk.
Your soon-to-be wife was not very happy with us. I think she said that we were broing out.
And then the one after that, when I was in the final stage of editing it, I destroyed it. And it was a very good podcast. Like, I was fucking happy with it. But and then we had one at the apartment that never went anywhere. I mean, one at the Biggie's house. Okay, so I'm Mario Alvos, Alex. Real Cognition Podcast today. We actually have a sponsor, so I have to like give them, I have to do a plug.
Okay.
Like a real plug. Okay. Today's Real Cognition is brought to you by Dark Matter Solutions. Now ask me, baby Alex, what's Dark Matter Solutions?
What is Dark Matter Solutions?
I'll let you know, Alex. Let me tell you. Dark Matter Solutions is these two good guys, Jason and Andrew. They're both doing home networking, home computer repair, small business computer repair, small business IT work, whatever you need. Like, there's no job too small or too big. Both these guys have years and years and years of experience. Andrew has, like, you know, degrees and certifications in IT work. Worked in the IT department at Arizona State for a while.
Okay, so if I have a hard time getting audio from my computer to go through my TV with an HDMI cable, they can help me with that?
They'll help you with that. That's what they do. Like, they're going to do...
Oh, thank God.
Like, fuck you, man. And you know what? You know how I'm going to do you? I'm going to do you really good, bro. You tell them that you heard about it at the Real Cognition Podcast, I'll give you 10% off your bill.
No, yeah, I know those guys. I don't know what they're talking about, like, half the time.
Yeah.
Technology, so that must mean they know what they're doing.
Dark Matter Solutions. You can hit them up on Facebook. On Facebook, just search Dark Matter Solutions. You know, there's no job too small. Like, if you're having problem, like, setting up your Wi-Fi network in your house and getting all the computers and your old devices to link up, I know that they work with apartment complexes to do their stuff. They've done a lot of work. Just hit them up. And if you let them know that you heard about it in my podcast, Real Cognition Podcast, you're going to take 10% off your bill. So just use them, you know? I think what they're doing is actually really good because they quoted me some of their prices and it's like really reasonable. Really reasonable. Remember I used to do security at Best Buy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I would do security at Best Buy, but also when there was, like, a Spanish-speaking customer, they would, like, get me from the front and be like, Mario, go fucking sell him shit because you speak Spanish.
Right.
These fucking Mexicans have money, too. And I'm like, yeah, they do. So it would be like if the customer wanted, like, an in-home consultation to set some up, to set up, like, a Wi-Fi network was something like $180 for something that takes, like, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they used to tell me, they're like, yeah, it's going to be, like, $180. It takes, like, 30 minutes to do and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, why would you charge that? Like, more people would have their, like, networks at home set up professionally if it wasn't $180, which is where these guys come in. So hopefully,
nice. Hopefully
it's them helping people, and then they're sponsoring the podcast. So, you know, good for them. Like, it's people helping people.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're good guys.
Thanks for coming today.
No problem. Like I said, this is the fifth time you said?
Fourth time. I got too cute with the fifth.
I think on the last two, we've literally talk about everything there is to talk about. Like, I don't know what else there is to do. I try to, like, recreate the magic on the last one.
We're not going to try and recreate anything. We're going to talk about the issues.
The issues?
The real issues. The issues people want to talk about.
Hillary's emails or something.
Is that still a thing? Are people still fucking giving her shit for that?
I think it's a thing.
Yeah?
ISIS, they're doing stuff. Some bad stuff.
Dude.
That's a thing.
I get, like, so upset. Like, I hate ISIS, too. Like, I hate ISIS.
Don't we all.
Everyone should hate ISIS, right?
Yeah.
But also, hate, like, you know, the drug cartels that are somewhat in the U.S. and also, like, 2 miles south, two hours south of us in Mexico. Like, they're right there. And we know that they're killing thousands of people a year. Tens of thousands of people a year. And you know how they're, like, ISIS always shows beheading someone. They're always beheading someone. Like, the Mexican drug cartels, they'll behead, like, 7 people and then chop them up and wrap them up in newspaper and deliver them to their mom. And I'm just like, that kind of sounds slightly worse. Where are these all Republican motherfuckers just like, take out the Mexican drug cartels, you know? Yeah. I bet you the cartels have killed more American citizens than ISIS ever wished it could even get its hands on. Did you see American Sniper?
I did.
How'd you feel about it?
I thought it was really simple. Probably the way I would describe it. Clint Eastwood's just the way he hammers you over the head with the characters and, you know.
Do you feel like
these are the bad guys, these are the good guys, like, here's the wife, she's, like, not a real character, like, she doesn't really have, like, real dialogue, like, it's just...
I heard that she was nagging the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much, like, she's being, like, you know, the sad wife, like, that he's... You know, at first she's, like, hip and cool, like, Marine guy, not gonna get me, like, yada, 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 and then, like, you know, then, you know, of course her defenses go down, and they fall in love, then she has a baby, like, it's all just very, like, simple. Good guys versus bad guys.
I would have been all for like a war film, but I think that Chris Kyle was like put on a pedestal that he didn't like deserve, cause he's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
No, and I have to like come out and say like, dude, the dude is a liar. Like, Ace Ventura sued him and won. Like,
Ace Ventura.
I was like, Jesse Ventura.
Oh, okay, yeah, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura like took him to court for a slander and telling lies. Like Chris Kyle said he had like. Punched him in the face and
knocked him out. Yeah, and then a story about how he shot some guys trying to break into his truck or something. But there's like no record of it.
Of that ever happening. He said that he killed two guys trying to like hijack him in his car and like in Texas or something. Mm-hmm. And he said that when the cops were about to question him and bring him for questioning, he got on the phone with one of his like superiors up in the army and handed the phone over to like the police officers. And the police officers are like, oh my god, you can go. Like, get the fuck out of here, you piece of shit.
And the problem with that, too, is because it is a relatively new story. Having a movie, which maybe deviates from the facts a bit, makes it uncomfortable because it is so recent. Because, I mean, you shouldn't really watch a movie as being like a history lesson.
But I mean, that's how people took it out. Because, you know, in the beginning of the movie, didn't it say, like, this is a true story?
I can't remember saying that. But, I mean, but that's because it's like now, though. It's like a contemporary story. Like, you know, if you make a movie like Lincoln or whatever, you're talking about, you know, hundreds of years, like, people aren't going to call you out on the facts exactly, you know?
Like, but if you did something that was, like, a couple years ago, and that's, like, there's, like, yeah, evidence
exactly.
Either way.
So that's like, the problem. So, like, yeah, I mean, like, Bradley Cooper is good in it. Like, it is actually, like, a good performance.
Even with the fake baby?
Yeah, the fake baby. I mean, he...
Could you tell it was a fake baby? I heard it was terrible.
Even at, like, the end of the movie when he's going off to his eventual death, like, he's talking to his son, you know? Be sure you take care of the house for the women while I'm gone. You're like, come on.
I have, like, another problem with that movie that, like, it's the first time I'm going to bring it up. It's actually, I'm going to try it out right now. And hopefully I don't get crucified if people listen to this. But, so Chris Kyle was running a program for post-traumatic stress victims that were also in Afghanistan and Iraq, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was his way for them to have therapy and communicate mm-hmm. with someone that relates to them. He got killed by one of those guys, and that guy was put in trial in Texas and convicted of murder, living life in prison now. Do you think that guy just got the hammer put down on him when there's a track record of him having PTSD and he went to war? And when people go to war, like, you don't... Mm. It's going to mess with your psyche. Like, you can go in with whatever thing that you have. So.
And then, like, the way of... like treatment, I guess, was to go to like a shooting range.
Yeah, so there. Okay, so before he murdered Chris Kyle, there was already like evidence that he was in trouble. Like, yeah. He needed help.
This unstable guy.
This guy's unstable. You give him a gun, and yes, you know, sadly, you know, Chris Kyle was a liar, but he didn't deserve to die. He may be a piece of. He may have been a piece of shit, and maybe exaggerate. Like, no, let's be real. Like, he it rubbed me really, really wrong, whatever part in his book or something where he said he was in New Orleans when they have kind of evidence that he was never in New Orleans during Katrina, but he said how he took out some looters.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude. This
is weird and creepy in itself.
Yeah, that's weird and creepy. I was like, hey, man, like, their city was flooded. They're probably looking for food, and you were just, like, talking shit about killing innocent people that were just maybe looking for food. You didn't know their situation.
Or someone that's looting, like, a TV. Like, okay. Like,
yeah, if you steal a TV, do you need to be murdered?
Yeah. But, I don't know, like, what he said, if that was, like, said somewhat in jest, or I don't know, but...
Well...
I mean, popular...
My thing is this, is that when that guy got, like, convicted for, like, to life in prison, like, no one ever... That guy wasn't like me and you. That guy had been in the shit as well. Like, he's a victim as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, there must have been a recorded evidence of him being... having PTSD, because then they referred him to Chris Kyle for that therapy, whatever fucking therapy he thought he was doing, by giving these psychopaths fucking guns. Like,
shoot through your problems, bro.
You can't shoot through your problems. And, you know, and all respect to Chris Kyle, he didn't deserve to die. Like, no one deserves to die like that. But yeah, my question is like, okay, support the troops, support the troops. At the end of the day, the guy that killed Chris Kyle was a troop with PTSD. Like, he...
Mm-hmm.
And we just fucking sentenced him to life in prison and threw him, and he's probably going to get murdered in there. Like, when people find out that you killed Chris Kyle, like, American Sniper, a hero, that guy's going to be killed in there, right?
No. Yeah. I mean, that's a popular example, but I guess that would be a problem at large about people that are incarcerated and what kind of problems they have.
The other thing about it is that we have to be careful about who we idolize. And I think it was Chris Kyle is like the lowest, like cherry picking, like the lowest, you know, it's very easy to idolize him, but he doesn't deserve it. Like, he's not Pat Tillman.
No.
And Pat Tillman, like, motherfucker, Pat Tillman was a bad motherfucker. When Pat Tillman gave up his NFL contract, went there, he was criticizing the Army while he was there. He was writing letters home to his wife and saying, like, hey, this is a fucking shit show. Like, this is not like, this is not about what 9/11 was about. And what ended up happening with him?
Yeah.
You know, killed by friendly fire. The exact thing he was complaining about. He was Pat Tillman. If anyone knows that Pat Tillman, you can read his autobiography, or not his autobiography, because he was dead when he... His biography and reaccounts by his wife. Like, he was being very vocal about, like, hey, I'm in Afghanistan. Why am I in Afghanistan? These motherfuckers have nothing to do with 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of disorganized. Like, this is not working out the way we were told, and...
And that's the problem I had with the movie, Back to American Sniper. It was just the way the characters portrayed, as far as if you want to get to, you know, real life. But in the movie, like, he seems very introspective and solemn and serious, Cooper's portrayal. Like, and as far as, like, what you know about Chris Kyle, like, that was not really the case. Like, he was on TV, he was doing... Yeah, he was speaking on TV. He was, you know, probably panelist discussions.
Getting groomed to get one of those sweet anchorman jobs in Fox News eventually, you know?
So, I mean, that was a little off in the film.
You know, whatever. You know what? Respect the guy, because he did give up years of his life, and maybe he embellished the truth. Maybe other people embellished the truth for him. He didn't deserve to die, but at the same time, he doesn't deserve to be idolized the way he is when there's, like, a proven track record of... maybe stories not being told accurately from him. You know, a guy successfully sued him for millions of dollars.
Well, like, regardless, there's going to be a huge faction of people that are going to look up to people like Chris Kyle. I mean, you know, just that badass soldier that was able to kill hundreds of people. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't going to necessarily care about everything. Like, they wouldn't have a problem with somebody that says that they shot some guys trying to steal his truck or... shot looters. I mean, he's gonna be a hero to a lot of people regardless. But like,
like, well, man, you can't say the R word down here. Conservatives.
Yeah. So,
dude, it's been a rough week. In my opinion, it's been a rough week for, like, my conservative friends. It's been a rough couple weeks. There was this this guy in Montana, this Republican representative that wanted to outlaw yoga pants. Inappropriate. Like, you can't wear yoga pants in public, you're gonna get fined. Another Republican in Texas is trying to make it illegal to videotape police officers. And I'm just like, these same motherfuckers are like, we want smaller government, we want less laws. It's like, they're the ones that are pushing the most fucking laws that limit, like, I fucking love bitches in yoga pants. Like, why are you making that illegal? And I have a lot of conservative friends too, and then they're like, hey man, that guy's a whack job, like, you know, he's not conservative, or that's not a conservative idea. I was like, hey, see, me and you, this is mutual ground, but then you see when I poke at this motherfucker, like, he represents your party, like, you have to call him out on stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of the big hypocrisy between the two parties, you know, smaller government versus bigger government, but then, like, you know,
the party that's pushing the smaller government's always
No taxes, but then, you know, like, less regulation, corporations, things like that, but then, oh, we want to regulate yoga pants. Yeah.
Same people that want smaller government wanted that Marriage Protection Act, and I was just like, that's more government.
Like, I was reading about, like, the Tea Party, and even they have, like, their 15, I don't know, like, guiding principles, if you will, of the Tea Party. And then, like, you get down to, like, the bottom, and then they say, like, English should be recognized as, like, the national language.
Isn't it already?
Yeah, and then, like, you know, but they feel the need to put it in there. And then, like, the last one's, like, you know, we traditional family values. Like, so, like, a lot of, like, you know, conservative right type of politics, but then they have, like, that little kind of vague, like, coded, you know, like, traditional family values. Like, what are they trying to say? Like, we all know what it means.
I'm still wondering, like, why even, like, gay people, like, why is that even discussed on the news? Like, dude, let these dudes, like, do each other in the butt. Like, they love it.
Yeah.
They love it. I don't give a fuck. No one gives a fuck. Like,
how many people really do give a fuck, but, like, we're always told to give a fuck? We're always told about the few minority of people that, like, really do and are vocal.
Mm-hmm.
So we make it seem like it's, like, a bigger issue than it really is.
Me and Katie, we're going through these marriage classes so we can get married in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a marriage retreat on Valentine's weekend. So on Valentine's weekend, we go down to this marriage retreat down in Scottsdale. We felt really good about it going in because as it was going on, it was a retreat for all these couples. There was maybe like 30 couples there, and these people that would kind of tell us like their trials and tribulations of being married this long and this long and this long. They had a couple that had been married like a year, another couple that had been married like 5 years, another couple that had married like 30 plus years. So, you know, different stages of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different struggles because they each had different struggles about, you know, some of them couldn't have kids and it was like something that they never had talked about. Like, what if we can't have a family? And or maybe the older couple, that one of their kids had like problems with addiction and it was like, oh, he's our kid, but he's also like, you know, this addict. Like, how do we, you know, put strain on marriage and stuff like that? A lot of it was really good, but a lot of it, you know, me and Katie have already talked about a lot of that stuff. We always, you know, we're very realistic about our future.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole retreat made us feel really, really well about where we're heading because we're like, hey, we've already talked about this. Like, we've had a plan and we're both like really down to earth. We know where, you know, we know where our effort should be put in. We know where our shortcomings are, what stuff we got to work on, stuff we need to know what to expect and to be realistic about life.
Yeah, but like, I don't, like, to but, me, don't everybody have that, doesn't everybody have that
no,
kind of talk?
And then, no. And we felt really good about it, but on the first day, there was 30 couples.
Mm-hmm.
On the next day, 4 couples didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there was a lot of couples towards the end of it on the first night. And I want
to talk. Everybody in the, are they all, like, getting married?
Mm-hmm. By nighttime, you could tell where there was, like, arguments between couples.
Really?
Well, dude, like, they... What they do is they bring up a topic like finances, and it's like, okay, finances. You know, have you guys each talked about each other's debts and your plans for saving and your budgets
mm-hmm.
and who's going to spend for what and responsible for what in the future? Okay, well, we're going to bring you this PowerPoint that tells you what to look for. Now go out there and talk about it, and then people would come back pissed, dude. Me and Katie were, like, on the same page about a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when you're forced to go out there and, like, walk and talk about certain things, like, you're going to, like, rub off, like, the wrong way, you know? And there's a lot of couples, like, towards the end of it, they're, fuck, like, those two motherfuckers are going to kill each other, you know? So, yeah, it's, like, I think it's good in that sense. What I want to talk about is at the end of the first night. The end of the first night, they had us do, like, a little Q&A with, like, the leader people. Going back to the gays. This person, like, raised their hand, or no, there was, like, these, like, a question box. You put questions in the box, and the people, like, answer the questions that are in the question box at the end.
Yeah.
One of the questions was like, hey, do you think gay couples will ever be invited to like something like this? Because it's like really helpful for a relationship when you're trying to take it to the next step. And they're like, well, you know, it turned into a big religious debate about gay marriage and the Catholic view of it. And the whole time I was just like, fuck, all this sounds like really hateful. Because like, it was just like, no, they wouldn't be invited here. I don't think they'd feel comfortable here. And we wouldn't feel comfortable. So it'd be like, you know, better for everyone that they don't just come. And I'm just like... Hey. Like, very nice way of saying hey, right? But even then, like, me and Katie, like, we're both, like, really down-to-earth people. And we're both just, like, really rubbed off the wrong way. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
What if two, like, gay people wanted to come do that? It's a good retreat. Like, you mm-hmm. get a lot of good stuff out of it. Like, but they're not allowed. Because people won't feel comfortable and this and that. I was just like, ugh. And the people that were doing the presentations were all very nice, but they were all very nice up until that point. So we're like, ooh, we're nice, but ooh, you're gay. That's ooh, oh, you're gay. Like, I don't know how to treat you as a person. It was like, treat him as a fucking person. Like, You know, you're very nice in all the other aspects of today, like...
And you grew up Catholic, and going to Catholic school.
Yeah, but my mom was super liberal Catholic. Like, yeah, my mom was, like, a punk rocker.
Well, because, you know, I know you, like, we met in, you know, at ASU, and existential class, was it existential,
Existential ethics?
Existential ethics, and then we, what, applied ethics? And then you were a philosophy major. So, I mean, I would never have pegged you as being, you know, Catholic.
Well, I mean, I 100% believe in God. And I've always told you that, I've always believed in God. Yeah. My thing is I believe in God, and my relationship with Him is very personal. Him or her, you know. I believe in God, and I understand what He is completely. To understand by the definition of Him, we can't comprehend whatever God is.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about it that way, like, I understand Him so well that I understand that there's limits of how I can understand Him. What I am fucking critical of is these motherfuckers that tell you that they have all the answers. And I'm just like, fuck you, dude. Like, you don't have any of the answers. Like, you just push those answers that you assume. And you're always like, you know, like, oh, gay people. Well, you know, the Lord said, you know, man should not lay down with man, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not... Get the fuck out of here. Like, who said that? When did God say that?
Because at its core, like, any, like, organized religion is going to be your guiding principle of how you're going to live your life or your worldview.
My thing is...
I mean, on one hand, it's hard to, like, fault people that, you know, have their views as wrapped up in their religion, because at least, like, they're being consistent. You know, like, just be consistent. I don't know what...
But, yeah, be consistent, practice your belief, but don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Don't drink the fucking Kool-Aid. Like, if you're part of a religion and they're like, yeah, you know, be nice to everybody, but if someone's gay, make sure you treat them differently. Like, exclude them from things. Don't do this.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Right now, it's just gay, because gay is like the really... they're really easy victims. If someone's lesbian or gay, they're easy victims, because you can always hide behind that tarp that says God, religion. 200 years ago, it was race. You know? 300 years ago, it was like gender, like women.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know, they were talking about the Catholic view on gay marriage that day. And this lady, like, raised her hand and was like, you know, well, we got to believe, you know, the church says this, and we got to put our faith in the church. And I was like, the church was also, like, finger-banging little boys, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember that? And they were, like, they were doing the fucking pedophile relocation program all over the world. Like, the church is not without error. And, dude... Yeah, I'm Catholic. I'm getting married in a Catholic church. I'm going to go through the rituals, but I'm still a person. And if you tell me to follow something blindly, I'd be like, that's the greatest slap to the face you could do to God. It's to be like, hey, I'm just going to join this club, and they told me what you were, and I'm going to do whatever they say for you. And I'm just like, God would probably slap you in the face. Like, get the fuck out of here. And people always, like, come up to me, and I bump a lot of heads, because I do have a lot of Catholic friends on Facebook where, and then they're like, well, you seem like a nice guy, but then you also, like, you cuss a lot, and you, like, you know, you believe in birth control for women. And I'm just like, if a chick taking the pill and me saying the F word to be funny, like, keeps me out of heaven, like, fuck it. I don't want to fucking go. Like, you know what I mean? You tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor? Like, I always bring up Mike Tyson whenever I can. Mike Tyson, he's been, like, a cocaine addict, like, money addict, sex addict. Convicted rapist. Multiple-time world champion.
That bounces out.
He's, he said once in his book, book you gave me?
Yeah.
Okay, I read the book. One of the chapters in there was, like, the opening line of the chapter was, like, if God made anything better than pussy, he kept it for himself. I was like, holy shit. Here's this guy that had been, like, a cocaine addict, like, marijuana, like, alcoholic, was just like, pussy. Pussy's the best.
So is it, like, anti any kind of organized religion for you? I mean, not anti, but you kind of don't exactly adhere to anything?
Well, no, I mean, I'm always a skeptic.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what about, like, Catholicism? Is it just, like, the rituals?
No, they're
very ritualistic.
There's very ritualistic, and then
but
part of the ritual is it. Like, the ritual is it. Like,
it is
when
it, totally.
when you do certain things, and you put your like, meditating, when you're going through the rituals, and then you actually put effort, like, hey, you know, kneel down and pray. If you actually kneel down and pray and meditate and be like, okay, you know, God, like, I'm trying to be a better person. God, I'm trying to, like, focus on this. Like, please, you know, please watch over my loved ones. Like, at the end of the day, a lot of people kind of have a barter system with God. like, I'm going to focus on being better, but please, like, help me out. I'm thankful for what you gave me. I kind of want you to keep doing this, keep my family safe. It's always a barter system with God.
Well, it's like you said, you feel like your relationship to God is personal, but isn't everybody's? I mean, we all kind of do it, like, in a, or not all of us, but people that go to church, you know, there's a sense of community that they gain. But, I mean, deep down, isn't everybody's relationship to, you know, God that they believe, isn't it going to be personal?
No. I think it's because you haven't spent enough time in churches. Like, you don't go and you don't see those people that get so into it, and they're like, have you ever seen those videos of those black churches where, like, or like they're like dancing, and then they're like, oh, come up front if you feel the Lord's spirit, and then this old lady walks up front and she starts speaking in tongues, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's a fucking act. Like, that's not real. Like, she is just acting. Like, there's, come over here, oh, I'm speaking in tongues, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, you know, that, you know who that person is? Were you ever in youth group when you were younger?
No.
Okay, so when I was younger, I was in youth group. And the only reason I went to youth group is because there were girls there that I liked. So there were certain girls there that I liked, so I went to youth group. There was a girl that I had, like, made out with. She was a dirty bitch. she was a skanky fucking chick, and we're like,
how old are you?
we're 13, like 8th grade. Like, this said girl, like, I was painting my mom's house. Me and my friend Tommy were like painting my mom's house once. This girl like calls me up. She's like, hey, my friend Kelly's here. Kelly likes Tommy, and I want to come see you. Like, blah blah blah. And I was like, well, you know, we're painting. You guys can come over and help us paint, right? Mm-hmm. I had to paint my room, and I had to paint my brother's room at my mom's house. So this girl comes, her and her friend, like, is, like, really into my friend at the time, Tommy, and they go off, and they're, like, making out in my room, and we're, like, making out in my room, like, we're painting. It's like, oh, let's go paint your closet. So she, like, takes me in the closet. Before then, all I had ever done was, like, just, like, make out, and she, like, took my pants off, started giving me, like, a blowjob and shit, and I was just like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Your first ever blowjob.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's like, oh, shit, right?
Yeah.
A couple days later, like, for me, it's like, I'm just like, oh my God, this is actually happening. Like, I didn't, you know, she, like, did her thing, and then it's over. And then a couple days later, I don't see her again until we go back to the church youth group. At church group, youth group, she's, like, crying and, like, throwing herself onto the altar and shit like that. And I'm just like, and it clicked to me that it's like, this dirty fucking dude, I didn't initiate it. Like, this was a dirty bitch that just wanted some dick. Like, oh, okay, so it's okay to, like, It kind of showed me the two sides of people, that when you're, depending on your setting, you're going to act a certain way.
Yeah, but can't you say that about yourself, though? I mean,
Not to that extent.
Giving blowjobs? But, like, no, like, you're raised in the Catholic Church, and you're taught these things, and you have this belief, and you develop this relationship to God, but then you're like, hey, I want to curse, and I want to get blowjobs, and
I want to get blowjobs.
Not give. So then it's like, oh, God has a sense of humor, or I have my own personal relationship to God. Like, how much of that can be just, like, a cop-out?
But at the same time, I don't hide it.
Yeah.
I don't hide
That's
it.
That's true,
like,
yeah.
People that know me, they're like, you know, sometimes Mario's a vulgar motherfucker, but you know what I'm never going to do? I'm never going to stab someone in the back. I'm never going to tell you one thing and then just go out there and do the other and just fucking shoot you when you're down,
yeah,
you know? Okay, let's go back to that marriage retreat. There was a little girl named Lupita. When me and Katie had got there on the first day, we got there on really late on the first day. We get there late on the first day, and then the only two seats are two seats right in front, and each seat has this booklet with, like, the what we're going to do that day. So we get our booklets. The first page of the booklet is, like, find a couple. Like, it was like a introduction to everyone, just meet each other. Just find a couple that's going to get married in 6 months. Find a couple that's, like, you know, have known each other more than 5 years. Find a couple that, you know, are going to have their wedding in another state. Like, just a little scavenger hunt, meet couples, right? We got there so late, we didn't have time for it. And the only couple that came up was this really cute couple. There's, like, this really young, like, Mexican girl and her husband, or her fiancé. And he looked like fucking fat Harry Potter. Like, really chubby Harry Potter. Like, really funny-looking guy.
Glasses, I'm guessing.
Glasses, yeah. Black hair, white guy. And this, like, Mexican girl named Lupita. Super sweet. She presented herself super sweet, right? Throughout the whole day, they would ask people to lead people in prayer, like, before snack breaks, before lunch break, before dinner break, like, lead prayer. And she would fucking jump up. She had that preschool teacher vibe. You know, a nice preschool teacher, her hair done up, small girl, like you know, very nice, very polite, very quiet, but very peppy. Leads in prayers, blah, blah, blah. Day number two comes along, and it's everyone's already kind of knows each other. Certain people didn't come back from the first day. Fuck. It's a time to go, and they're like, everyone just say something about yourself. Say, you know, introduce yourselves. Tell us when you're going to get married, where you're going to get married, where you're going for a honeymoon, right? Everybody goes, and she's actually sitting in the first seat, so she's last because they started at the back. Mm-hmm. It gets to her, and she's like, well, you know, we were planning to get married in July, but we might have to get married sooner because, you know, I'm growing a human. And then even the people that were doing the presentation, like, had this picture of this girl who made up a rap prayer before we launched that
day. A rap prayer?
Yeah. J to the E to the S-U-S. Thank you, God, for this delicious food or something. She had a whole little free flow. Yeah. And she was all Jesus'd out. And the people were like, growing a human. Like, they were like, they didn't know what was going on. And I was like, this fucking slut. Like, they're like, what? She's like, yeah, like, you know, I'm growing a human. Yeah. And, yeah, she's pregnant. I felt fucking happy. I was like, I didn't even know Harry Potter had it in him. He stuck it to her. And he's all, like, smiley, goofy, dorky guy. And she's like, yeah, you know, we're planning to get married in July, but, you know, I'm probably going to have the baby sooner. And she was all, she was kind of chubby. Mm. Did you get to tell she was pregnant? I was like, oh, maybe she's not that chubby. She's pregnant. but it's like that. Like, she had spent the whole week. Oh, she had spent the whole weekend putting down birth control, putting down abortion, putting down premarital sex. But it's like, you're not even married yet, and you're going to have, like, a thing. But you just put on this show for 2 days. For 2 days, you put on the show that you were the most perfect one here. You led the prayers. You showed us your little Jesus prayer. You told us how you guys went to a Catholic gynecologist or OBGYN because you were totally against birth control. It shows because you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. And totally against schmishmortions, abortions, and how you're, like, holier than thou. And it's like, bitch, like, now you're going to have to, like, speed up your wedding day because you got knocked up by Harry Potter over here. Like, I hate that. I hate, and that's what I've...
Like, the hypocrisy of it.
And when you're in that system and you're active in it, like, you get tired of it. You get tired of seeing these, like, fake car salesman people. It's always the loudest ones that are holier than thou that it's like, that dude's the scummiest.
See, like me, I grew up without anything. Very secular family.
Dude, me too. Like, my mom...
Like, what you're saying, like, I remember my mom always being like, you know, well, now, just because you go to church, it doesn't mean that you're a good person, you know, like, mm-hmm. I get that, but then, like, you know, me, like, not growing up in any kind of organized system of school or whatever, it gets to a point where it's like, well, what do I need it for, like, you know, any kind of belief system, like, it served no function to me, you know?
You still doesn't serve any function now?
No, it doesn't.
Like, you don't have a sense in yourself, like, when you've been, like, maybe down on your luck or maybe going through a hard time. Like, you've never had, like you want to call for help and you don't know, like, you're going to call for help to...
Well, of course I do, but it's not the idea of a God. I mean, like, I passed that point completely.
You've totally evolved past us normal human beings.
And, like everything. No, I'm not that. But, like, I mean, everything you say, too. Like, I think of, like, you know, like, John Lennon had a great line in the song God. Like, God is a concept by which we measure our pain. I'm like, that was a great fucking line, especially when you're, like, you know, 16 years old and you're starting to become a little more aware about who you are and what you believe and how you view the world. But... Like, yeah, like, okay, like, times of weakness, like, okay, now, like, now I'm going to lean on a God, you know, to give you comfort. I mean, I get it. I get why people, you know, turn to it. I mean, people that are, you know, addicts, Alcoholics Anonymous, like, you know, it's part of that sense of community, giving up, you know, that you're powerless and giving up to a higher power. Like, that's what, you know.
My thing is, it's not for you, or maybe, like, you don't, maybe you don't need it, but there's some people that do need it, and you recognize that, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I recognize that, too, me and you. I was raised Catholic, but I was raised, like, Catholic light. Like, my mom was, you know, be a good fucking person, same thing.
Yeah.
Because we had so many
family... Like, probably because she felt like that's the thing to do, or, you know...
Yeah, it's tradition.
Yeah, tradition.
Mexican tradition. Like, but we also had a lot of family that was very two-faced. We had a lot of family that would go to church and go through the motions, and we knew that they were the worst people.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that they mistreated each other, and they backstabbed each other. And my mom, above all things, was like love. Even when people meet my mom now, it's like, dude, I wish one day I could be as loving as my mom, because she is such a good person, like always smiling. How can I help you? Like, what can I give myself to you and stuff like that. And she was never very religious. The only time we ever fucking went to church is when we were fucking up. Like, if me and my sister were fighting, she'd be like, oh, you motherfuckers need church. We're going to church today. We're like, oh, fuck. Like, we won't fight again. I'm sorry. Like, she used it as a punishment, but at the same time, like, it was, sent me off to Catholic school and sent my brother off to Catholic school. And so.
Let's see, like, I always grew up without it. And, like, very vague, you know? Like, I honestly don't have any strong memories.
Did you ever ask to go to church?
No, not really. Like, not that I know. I had like friends that, you know, like if they spent the night on Saturday, like, you know, they had to leave early Sunday because they had to go to church. And we're like, oh, that's weird, you know.
And they're like, hey man, do you want to come? And you're like, nope. No.
It was a very like vague understanding of God. Like, it served no function. It was like this, you know, God, like Jesus, like, oh, Christmas is, you know.
How's your mom now that she's older? Still the same way?
Yeah, pretty much.
Leaning back towards God?
No, not at all. I wouldn't say my parents either. I mean, I know they have their, you know, unique histories. My mom raised like Catholic, my dad very Christian, and probably those, you know, those churches you were talking about earlier with the speaking tongues, like, they grew up in those kind of,
those are a joke.
Yeah, they grew up in those contrasting settings, and then, you know, and of course there's issues between the family when they got married. But like, as us as kids, and I don't know, maybe it was different from my brother, he was older, maybe by the time, like, you know, me is like the youngest child, maybe it was like, you know. Yeah.
And then here's my thing too, is I can be Catholic, but to say that I can't criticize a Catholic church, that's just stupid. I'm like, I'll criticize whatever I want. You know, if you're part of a club and the club is fucking up, you're gonna look up to the club leaders and be like, you guys are fucking up. Like, I'm part of this club, everyone's part of this club, we're trying to do good things, the club is fucking up. Like, look at the Catholic church for the last 20 years. Pedophile relocation program. You know, look it up 200 years before that. Anyone who doesn't convert to Christianity, burn those fucking savages. Didn't even classify them as human beings. Like,
they have impressive, like, you know, shows.
What do you mean?
Like, the whole rituals. It's all pretty cool. Like,
the mass?
The mass, yeah.
You piece of shit.
I know, like, you know, Bach, you know, made some good music. That's what I know.
Fuck, man. Is your other better half pretty religious?
Yes and no. She grew up very Catholic. And I, you know, but like, that's another thing too, is as you get older, like I said, I grew up without any kind of, you know, real strong, like, concept of what, like, any, you know, as far as like a guiding principle, like, it's very abstract and just, it served no function. And then I feel like as I get older and I meet people and I have my friends and stuff like that, they're like friends that may be Catholic or whatever, that I'm like, what's the difference between us? Like, I don't, you know, there's like no difference. And like, that's how I would describe Michelle. Like, it's, you know.
I think those are the best people. Yeah. Where if I meet you and I can't tell whether you're like a Jew or a Christian or Muslim or Catholic or Jehovah's Witness. Like, if I can't tell what you are, like, just, you don't have to, yes, but see, because even, like, the Catholic Church is, like, you know, you're a Christian first, you're a Catholic first before everything else, before you're a Catholic, then you're a man, then you're a husband, then you're a, you know, father, son, student, friend, whatever, but it's Catholic first, so a lot of people really take that to heart, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's hard, you know?
And that's why, like, why some people maybe believe something and I don't, it's, like, it really is, like, because I didn't grow up with it, you know, where a lot of people maybe did, even though, as, like, you know, we have other influences as we get older and just living in the world. That,
and you know what I think that you're so turned off by the absurdity of some of the stuff institutionalized religion pushes, that you're like, you know what, this atheist route, like, I can still be a good person and be atheist. Like, people that run for office, like, I'm surprised how many of them aren't atheists. Because people have, like, this, even now, it's, like, 2015, and people have this, like, terrible view on being an atheist. So, like, oh, that motherfucker has no moral compass. It's, like,
no,
he does have a moral compass.
It's so, like, certainly here in the
He's not in prison for murder. He hasn't killed anyone. He hasn't hurt anybody. He's, like, 30 years old. Let that motherfucker be an atheist. Like, he doesn't need God. Good for him. Like, he's already got stuff figured out for himself. Like, who, you know? It's very weird. There's not enough. There's not atheists in Congress. Like, you know, you don't get voted up there. You don't make it. You don't make it. You have to be, you know, part of the club.
Yeah.
It's weird. So maybe at the end of the day, this podcast was about, like, I think it usually goes.
Chris Kyle took Catholicism.
Chris Kyle took Catholicism. Fuck. And you know what? People might listen to the first part of this and be like, that motherfucker hates a hero. Like, I don't hate him, but I'm just saying that he doesn't deserve the pedestal that he's on. You know? Like, he, one, didn't deserve to die. He shouldn't have died. Because if I was his friend, I would have been like, hey, yo, Chris, that motherfucker has PTSD, bro. Like, you shouldn't give him a gun. Like, well, he might shoot you one of these days. Dude, but I bet you, the way he presented himself, he probably surrounded himself with all these fucking leeches. I was just like, oh, Chris, you're the man, dude. You're the man. Fuck my wife, Chris. Fuck my fucking wife. No, but, you know, if he was your friend, he was like, hey, Alex, I just got back from Iraq, man. I'm going to take these PTSD soldiers out shooting with me. You want to come? What would you say? No.
Could you, I mean, could you picture me shooting a gun anyways? Like, really?
Like, you know, poor guy, like, he didn't deserve to die, but at the same time, he doesn't deserve the pedestal. don't do it. Thanks for being here today. You're going to be here for one more show.
I am?
Oh. Fuck yeah, you are.
Okay.
Fuck yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to Real Cognition Podcast. Check out our boys at Dark Matter Solutions, Facebook. Just search them, Dark Matter Solutions page. Use the code word Real Cognition for 10% off your next bill. Computer networking, computer repair, home, small business. You know, if for some reason you're, you know,
your audio's not going,
your audio's not going from your computer down to the HDMI, and you need to go through the Wi-Fi, and you bought this Comcast, you're having a hard time getting the Comcast to freaking to connect to the Wi-Fi, and then your network and your passwords and Netflix. Dark Matter Solutions, code word Real Cognition Podcast, 10% off. Thanks.